It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 64 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
We are just coming off of the most exciting weekend of the year for X-Wing. The 2017 World Championships just took place at the Fantasy Flight Game Center in Roseville, Minnesota, and we now have a new X-Wing World Champion.
Justin Fua from Singapore excitingly defeated Nand Torfs, the defending world champion from Belgium, making Justin the new world champion.
Overall, it was a very exciting and important weekend for X-Wing. So today we're going to focus on Carson and I's experience at the event, and then we're going to dig into the top 16 lists and look at what those lists mean for the metagame going into store championship season. So let's get to it.
So this was a great weekend for us. Besides playing some amazing X-Wing games, we got to meet a bunch of listeners. And unfortunately, because of Radio TCX time standards, we won't have time for shout-outs and battle reps on every match. But for everyone we met and played, we just want to say big thank you for making it such a positive weekend for us.
Yeah, there were a lot of fun games. I had some of the best games of X-Wing I have ever had just in that one day of Swiss that I was able to experience. And Carson, you got to play a lot of exciting games as well.
Yeah, and I think we should probably start off with the most important game of Worlds, the Thursday night Team Epic event.
Oh, yes. This is a very important game to us as a podcast.
It's a big achievement. Okay, so for some history, past two Worlds, we've played the Team Epic together, Tim and I. And we haven't won any of those games previously.
Yeah, and usually we don't just lose. We lose pretty badly.
But this year, we decided to fly an epic ship, actually. And that helped a bit.
As it turns out, the key to winning a game of epic is to fly an epic ship in your list. So we had a very fun game of X-Wing. We got paired against Cody Campbell and Ryan Farmer from Minox Squadron. Ryan, of course, is on the Minox Squadron podcast. And I don't think I've actually played a game against Ryan ever. I've met him, you know, a while ago. But have you played a game against Ryan, Carson?
Nope, just listened to a show.
Well, it was a really exciting game. They were rocking out a Rebel Transport with a bunch of T-70 X-Wings with Pattern Analyzer, which turns out are pretty okay when you have a lot of points to spend on them.
I will say they win for having the more thematic X-Wing epic list. Rebel Transport and all of the named T-70 pilots guarding it. Plus, of course, a random Etana bot dealing out way too many crits.
Yeah, his ability is pretty awesome when you have nine other ships shooting. We won't go into too much detail about the actual game. Our epic list was basically a raider, some TIE defenders, a small TIE swarm, and then some other random ships in there to give us an edge with our raider's dice modification.
That Vader raider, though, dealing tons of damage to itself on four different attacks.
Yeah, Vader on the Raider was pretty sweet. It was a really exciting finish to the game because we went two time and we won on points in the last shot when my TIE fighter used a crack shot to kill one of their X-Wings.
Jess Pava, the most terrifying T-70 in Epic.
And she also had pretty strong representation in the actual world's top 16. But yeah, it was an overall fun game.
Yeah, so now we can claim our Epic superiority over the Minox Squadron podcast.
And we would ask them politely to fly better. It was a fun game, though. And the thing about Star Wars Worlds, or just FFG Worlds in general, is there's a lot of fun to be had. You get to meet a lot of cool people, not just people who knew us through the podcast, but through the games we played. And we got to play in a bunch of fun side events. We had the Star Wars Destiny multiplayer event, which we both played in. I had a little experience with Destiny. Carson, you'd only played, like, I think one game, right?
Yep, didn't matter. I was still a threat. People knocked me out pretty quick.
And I was fortunate enough through some kind of happenstance to break the top 16 in the multiplayer side event, which got me a bunch of those prize tickets, which is a pretty cool way to get a lot of promos and cool stuff.
Yeah, that's good for our listeners, isn't it?
But let's talk more about the actual reason people are listening to the show, X-Wing. So, Carson, you played in Day 1B, which was on Saturday. I played the day before on Day 1A. I was not able to make it to day two. I had a 4-3 record after the first seven Swiss rounds, and I missed the 64th place cutoff by five spots because I was 69th after Swiss on day 1A. You were much more fortunate, though.
Yeah, I missed something by about five spots, too. We'll get there. But your day started off pretty darn exciting. Round one pairing against the other Minoc host, D-Yoon, on camera.
So I was on the Gold Squadron podcast stream. I think it's still archived. You can go to Gold Squadron podcast on Twitch. It should be like the first game on day 1A. I was paired against D-Yoon, of course, from the Minoc Squadron podcast. And I got to tell you, it's intimidating to get paired against another podcast host because I feel like there's a lot on the line there. D's a really awesome guy, really fun to play against. But I had not actually played against him before. So there's this kind of intimidation level where like, oh man, we're both kind of representing our podcasts. You know, we got to play really good.
Yeah, there's definitely something else on the line because the loser just doesn't get to hear the end of it. Right, D-Yoon?
Right. I would never give that up. The even more stressful part was that we were on table one, which was the stream. So I knew there would be a permanent record of however well I played. I was rocking my Rao Boats list, Fen Rao, with two contracted scouts. And D-Yoon was rocking the Minoc special, the Palpatine Shuttle, Whisper, and Omega Leader. And it was a pretty tense game.
Oh, yeah. It was very exciting to watch. You had some great blocking with the scouts, and your Fen was pretty nimble in avoiding D's Omega Leader. I thought that was pretty well flown there.
Yeah, and in the end, fortunately, with a couple lucky die turns, I was able to take that game, which set me up pretty well for the rest of the day. It was a fun game, though. I was really excited that I was able to play D, and we do have a permanent record of it now, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, your Forlom crew on one of those scouts was pretty important, I think, throughout your day in pushing through damage on those Imperial Aces.
I believe my Forlom, I think, had four confirmed kills that day, which was pretty sweet.
Wouldn't have happened if those tokens weren't locked down, right?
Yes, exactly. I had some other really awesome and exciting games, too. I played Evan Clausen in round four, and he was flying a Dengar Bossk. And the thing I'll say about Swiss was I was expecting there to be a lot of Fen Rao's out. I guess I didn't expect as much Fen hate because he was rocking a pilot scale 11 Dengar. He used VI, of course, to get into pilot scale 11, and Bossk, and had a strong bid. So he was ready to take on my Fen Rao.
Yeah, and there's also this added psychological effect of getting paired against the Dengar Bossk list because these are the kind of lists that have the chance to ruin your run. That's a lot of front damage. If you're not able to avoid it, like, this game could be over really quickly, and you can just be done.
Yeah, and so I was clearly intimidating, fully going into that match expecting to lose. I'd played Evan before, too. Evan's a great guy, and he's a really good X-Wing player. I had a pretty good opening position moving into that game. I had Fen Rao at range one of Dengar. I had his Bossk having to swing wide, so he didn't have a shot on my Fen Rao. And then I had my contracted scouts getting ready to drop torpedoes the following turn. And then the most unfortunate thing happened. Dengar attacked Fen and generated a total of a hit and two crits on Fen. My defense totally crapped out. I still had a focus token. And the hit went through. The first crit was a thrust control fire, which is really bad when you're running a Tani. So Fen takes a stress, and then everyone else has to take a stress from a Tani. And that flips down, and then the next crit was a direct hit. So Fen Rao died before ever getting to shoot, and now all of my ships were stressed, which really stunk. I lost shields on my other scout, and then miraculously through the rest of the game, some key die rolls failed for Evan. His offense just kind of was not there when he needed it to be. And it ended up the game ending at time with my last scout shooting. I think he had two hull left and killing his Bossk and winning the game for me. It was a really tight game, though.
Yeah, it was awesome. By the end of it, there was just a whole crowd of people around your table. Like, it was a very exciting game.
I was really fortunate to win. I don't think I fully deserved that win. It was just a couple of bad offense rolls for Evan.
But that's one of those things, especially at a big event like Worlds. I mean, this is something that applies to every game of X-Wing, but I think it's particularly important at these events where you don't really get a second chance at playing these games. And when you take a early loss, like your Fen getting one-shotted, I mean, it can be demoralizing, and you could think, okay, I've lost this game. Or you can take the mentality of, okay, what do I need to do to play to win? Going to those chess mentalities of, in the Dengar boss list, when you lose an early ship, that list almost quickly moves to the late game and tries to close you out. And so you have to quickly maneuver and say, no, we're still on stage two, where hopefully I still have superior positioning and can try and create advantages, because I'm definitely on a piece deficiency at that point.
Well, and I think the biggest lesson I took away from that game is to, when you're playing at an event like this, never give up. Always keep the mentality of, okay, that was bad for me, but what do I need to do now to win? And as long as you keep doing that, sometimes the dice will turn for you, and you'll be able to use every opportunity you have to regain the advantage.
Right. And so you're always playing to win. It doesn't always work out. I mean, okay, you lost some stuff. Your opponent's at a big advantage. You need the variance to swing in your favor and make good plays to come back. But you have to make those good plays before the variance can swing in your favor.
I had some other really exciting games I played. I played against Trevor Betts, who was flying a really interesting list that I was not expecting. It was Karnor Jax with Omega Leader and a Kylo Ren Shuttle. And really the most interesting thing about this list was the Kylo Ren Shuttle, which had Advanced Sensors, Rebel Captive, Inspiring Recruit, and Veteran Instinct. So all of his ships were at Pilot Skill 8. And when he set up, I didn't fully understand what he could do. What ended up happening was he would trigger his Advanced Sensors at Pilot Skill 8 and then coordinate an action, because the Upsilon class shuttle has the coordinate action, to one of his other ships and give them a preemptive boost or barrel roll so that they could actively reposition against my lower Pilot Skill ships, which was really powerful. And he was able to take down one of my scouts pretty quick. In the end, I actually won this one only because we worked our way down to the corner of the board and he didn't have enough room to turn around and get shot. So I was able to get behind him with Fenn. And then a few rounds later, his ships were gone. But it was a really exciting game and I really liked that build. It was a really cool build that I was not expecting. Totally caught me off guard.
Yeah, and that's a tough matchup because both the Rebel Captive card there is pretty good control against the Atani. And he also had Karnor Jax, so your ships are getting stressed. Yeah, they clear them on greens and get focuses, but Karnor Jax can prevent that as well. So it's a pretty tough way for you to even trigger your Atani or get any value out of it.
Yeah, I think it was actually a very good call with that list in this metagame, because there was definitely a lot of Atani Mind Links out there. Another interesting game I had was against Travis Johnson, who ended up making the top 16. He was flying what they call Old Fenru, which is Fenrau, Old Turok, and Amanaru. He beat me. It was a very close game. I think the point split was like 14 or 15 at the end when we hit time. But he flew it very well, and that list has a very strong play against my Rau boats, especially with that aggressive bid. He went on to top 16, of course, so we'll talk about his list in a little bit. Ultimately, though, what knocked me out of getting to day two was my last two games. I made some miscalls when I was flying against a Ghost Ray list. A couple miscalls cost me that one, so that one's totally on me. And then my last game was just a really grindy game against Triple Scouts, where we got down to my Forlom scout versus one of his scouts. And at that point, you're just hoping that you get a nice turn on the damage rolls there. What ended up killing me was I pulled a weapon failure crit, which means that he got way ahead on the damage curve and ultimately took me out. So ended my day with a 4-3 record, just missing the cut by a little bit. But I had a really, really exciting day. Lots of fun had. Some of the best games of X-Wing I've ever gotten to play. So I'm not feeling too bad about it.
Yeah, watching your games, I felt like you played very well. I was very impressed with all your maneuvering there.
Well, thank you. So, Carson, let's talk about your slightly more successful day on day two.
Yeah, so I flew a list I talked about a while back with Fenrau and Asajj, kind of the typical Paratani loadouts for those. And instead of Manru there, a Polyp Gadali with Dorsal Turret, Atani Mind Link, Cloaking Device, and the Stygian Particle Accelerator.
One of the funny things about Atani builds is that the ships tend to be the same loadouts with maybe a difference in an upgrade card or two. It's just the combinations that you see different. Because your standard Fenrau across almost every time he's seen is just Fenrau with the Atani Mind Link, the Conquered Dawn Protector title, and Auto Thrusters. And then the Asajjs you see would almost always just be Atani Mind Link and Lats Razi. What set your list apart, of course, was that Polyp Gadali.
Right, and I also want to give a shout-out to Hart Schaefer and Nick Bell, who also piloted this list. Nick's list was a little different, but between the three of us, we played 40 games at Worlds and had 5 losses. So it's a pretty good list for the current meta.
Yeah, and it's pretty impressive, too. Nick Bell made the top 4, actually, ultimately. And
yeah, he went undefeated up till the top 4.
And Hart Schaefer missed out on the top 16 cut by just, I think, one place. He was 17th, right?
Right. And then, of course, me, the scrub, only hit 21.
21. That's still pretty impressive, Carson. You should be proud of that.
Yeah.
I was 28th at last year's World, so I think that officially makes you the best X-Wing player on Radio TCX. I guess barring when Kevin Lines is on.
Right. For now. There's always store championships, though.
So can you tell me about some of your more notable games?
So let's start out with the rough games. My first loss was Hassan Khan flying a triple Imperial Aces list with Colonel Vessery with Crackshot X7 and Omega Leader with Juke Comm Relay, and then Quick Draw with Expertise, Fire Control System, the title, Lightweight Frame, and Pattern Analyzer. And this was it was pretty close for a while. We each focused one target, and he was able to eliminate my ships a little bit quicker than I was able to take his down. I went for Vessery first, and he went for Asajj first.
When I was watching this game, too, there were a couple key moments there where the defense rolls on his defender were just a little bit above average, meaning you killed him like maybe one turn later than you needed to, and he got those extra shots out. Which, I mean, in the game of X-Wing, that makes all the difference. Like, if you kill a ship on turn 5 instead of turn 4, that's going to affect your game later because he's there to block, he's there to still deal damage to your other lower pilot skill ships.
Right, and this put me behind on the damage race, so after I finished off Vessery, then having Fenn and Polub versus Omega Leader and Quick Draw, I was not able to then finish off Omega Leader before Polub went down and then Fenn went down. Hansen flew it very well, so that was my first loss. And then the round after that, I flew against William Woodridge from the Evergreen Squadron Radio. And this was the one game where I was not impressed by how I flew. My approach was okay. My Polub's cloaking device failed on the first round of engagement, which then led to him dying that round, which was not great. But then after that, I just made some terrible moves with my Asajj, landed her on a rock, and kind of just gave the rest of the game to him, which it would have been nice to have played a bit more of a grindier game. Yeah, I took the early loss, but had I worked to fight back, I would have gotten hopefully at least a scout, maybe a scout and a half down, which would have been some nice MOV for a loss.
Well, and losing this game kind of puts you in a rough spot because you were then 2-2, which means in order to secure a spot for day 2, you basically needed to win all your remaining games.
Yeah, which then happened.
Well, obviously, yeah.
So then the last three rounds, I played against two more triple Imperial Aces and then a double Arc Jess list. My favorite of the Imperial Ace loadouts that I played against was Dan Cimino in my final round, who flew Quick Draw with Expertise, Fire Control System, Targeting Synchronizer, the Title and Lightweight Frame, Backdraft with Adaptability, Fire Control System, Targeting Synchronizer, Special Ops Training, and Lightweight Frame, and then Pure Sabacc with Veteran Instincts, Adaptive Ailerons, and Lightweight Frame.
We saw actually a lot of TIE SFs out and around the tables doing actually pretty good. I think the Quick Draw was a pretty good call against Fenn Rao, because you can do things like get adaptability or veteran instincts on it to get that pilot skill up there. And when it takes damage, getting that second shot with Quick Draw makes all the difference in the game, especially if Fenn Rao only has maybe one focus token.
Right, and that's why you see Expertise, Fire Control System, Quick Draw is, okay, he gets that opening shot, and it's well modded, but then holds the threat of a target lock focus shot back if he's ever targeted for an attack, which is something your opponent really has to think about. Playing against Dan, I had a damaged Asajj and a Polub versus Quick Draw and opted to not shoot multiple turns until I could put myself in a scenario where I took those shields down in one round of shooting and not allow his ability to trigger multiple times.
Well, I think that's kind of the key with Quick Draw is if you can get all those, he's going to shoot at you when he loses a shield. The key is to get all those shields down in a single turn so that he only ever gets to use his ability once. You know you're in a bad situation if he gets to shoot three times with that ability.
But this list is pretty cool because those targeting synchronizers with the fire control system lets him spread out his target locks. And usually the downside of fire control system is if you switch targets, then you don't have the modification. But if another ship has a target lock on your target, they can use the targeting synchronizer to support whatever ship is shooting.
For those of you who don't know what targeting synchronizer does, which makes sense because we actually don't see it that much right now, though maybe we will now that it's a stronger choice. Targeting synchronizer reads, when a friendly ship at range 1-2 is attacking a ship you have locked, the friendly ship treats the attack target lock header as attack. If a game effect instructs a ship to spend a target lock, it may spend your target lock instead. This comes in at 3 points in the tech slot.
Yeah, and so just spending a target lock to reroll your dice does count for that second line of text. And so this list has no munitions, so it's just using those targeting synchronizers for that second line of text. Quick Draw has Expertise, Target Lock, and Pure Sabacc is able to just take a focus action and use either Backdraft or Quick Draw's target locks to give him a 4-dice focus target lock attack as well. So it's a lot of offense, and it was pretty interesting to play against. So I finished 5-2 and then moved on to day 2. My MOV was pretty good. I got 3 full wins. Of course, when I lost, my MOV was not great on those matchups. So I needed to win and win pretty well in the next 2 rounds of Swiss on day 2. Unfortunately, I got paired against Andrew Lotterell in that first round of day 2, which is always unfortunate to get played against another Minnesota player. It happened to be the Minnesota regional champion, who was flying Whisper, Inquisitor, and Pure Sabacc. Had a bid, so he got to control initiative on Fenrau, opted to take it, and he played a very good game of Whisper dodging Asajj's mobile firing arc, where that stress at the start of combat will stop Whisper from taking that free cloaking action after she shoots with the advanced cloaking device.
Yeah, so you're really playing a game of, I need to make sure I can shoot to get cloaked, but I can't be within range 2 of that mobile firing arc, or I will die pretty easily.
And to his credit, he successfully avoided all of Asajj's mobile arc triggers. But at the end, he made an aggressive move to try and finish off Asajj with Whisper. Miscalled the range on Asajj, took a focus, wasn't in range, and Fenrau was able to get into range 1 on a non-cloaked Whisper and one-shot her. So it was a very close game up until that point. So I got pretty good MOV on that win.
Your next game was pretty rough, though. You had a pretty bad turn for you against Fenrau.
Yeah, something about these Dengar Bossk opponents one-shotting our Fens before they shoot.
That's the theme of the weekend for us.
Yeah, so I got Fen into a pretty good spot. Range 1 of Dengar. Focused target locked on Dengar. Dengar does not have arc on Fen. And Bossk had target locked Asajj. So I thought he was pretty safe. Like, he might take some damage, but he'll live to shoot that 5 dice attack. Nope. Major explosion kills him off.
Well, your hope in this scenario, because Dengar getting that second shot in arc when you shoot at him is pretty rough, and that'll easily kill a Fen. So your hope, basically, in this matchup is to push out as much damage against the Dengar as you can, hopefully killing him on turn 2. And then even if you lose your Fenrau, your other ships can clean up against the boss, get behind him, whatever you need to do. But yeah, to lose your Fen before he even gets to put out that little bit of damage he can, that's pretty rough.
Yeah. And so then, of course, you're well behind on the damage race. But I had an interesting position where I was able to block his Dengar with my Asajj near the board edge where none of his turns would clear me and the 3 bank would put him off the map. So his Dengar had no moves. The next round, I had to tank a range 1 shot from Bossk, which was not great. But my mobile arc was pointed that way, so I got, you know, some lats stuff. But he was able to Boba Fett off my Atani Mind Link. And so then I just proceeded to bump Dengar for like 4 or 5 turns while Bossk had to turn all the way around in that slow YV fashion because he definitely was stressed from the Asajj triggers as well, which didn't help his mobility. And Polib had to swing all the way around. He was kind of out of position after Fen exploded and get some dorsal turret shots on Dengar, which is always kind of silly. But because I had Dengar in a position where he wasn't able to get that return shot, it was okay. Paul had some hero moments and evaded Dengar's attacks pretty well. Wasn't able to push much damage through, though, so it took forever. And I eventually had to disengage once Bossk got around and play a crazy game of cloaking and then decloaking. This was like the one game where my cloaking device held up the whole game,
which was important and probably won you that game.
Yeah, so I had to choose when I wanted to weather the storm or shoot back with Polib. At the end, I was able to finish off Dengar. He brought both my ships down to 1 hole, and I was able to strip the shields off of Bossk at time. So I won on points where I had half an Asajj and Polib versus half a Bossk. It was a win, but not the best MOV.
Right, and probably that's what knocked you out of the top 16 cut, unfortunately. Though I will say 21st place is a very impressive feat. I think you should be really proud of that.
Yeah, and I will say the dice are pretty sweet.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners. Time for a quick Patreon update. It's time to announce our May raffle winners. I know you've had to wait an extra week thanks to all this world's craziness, but we appreciate your patience, and now we're ready to announce our May raffle winners.
First up, winning our Alt Art Sunter Fell is John Chalk.
Congratulations, John. And winning our Scimitar Squadron Movie Still promo, that's the TIE Bomber, of course, is James Brusso. Congratulations, James.
Thank you both for supporting the show, and thank you again to all of our patron supporters. We picked up a decent amount of rays at Worlds, so I think we'll be sending those along in our next month's raffle.
Yeah, I think actually let's confirm it right now. Why not? We haven't done this early before, but let's say for next month's raffle, for sure we will be giving away not one, but 2 ray promo cards.
To be eligible for these raffles, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today. And now let's get back to the cast.
So there's a whole lot to talk about from Worlds, even just looking at the top 16. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll be covering all the different things that were going on and all the different lists we had there. Today, we're going to just focus in on the World Champions list. Justin Foix is, of course, the champion, defeating the reigning champion Nan Torfs to claim that title. He brought a familiar face from the last World Championships.
Yep, Dengar coming back to claim the crown again, but some new spice, a Teltravura alongside Dengar.
Yeah, so by necessity, after the FAQ change, there had to be changes to the metagame. So this Dengar does look a little bit different than the Dengar we saw winning the previous World Championship. He opted to run Expertise, the Punishing One title, K4 Security Droid, Unhinged Astromech, Plasma Torpedoes, Extra Munitions, and Guidance Chips, bringing Dengar up to 58 points. And then he has Teltravura with Veteran Instincts, bringing him up to Pilot Skill 9, K4 Security Droid, Unhinged Astromech, Plasma Torpedoes, Extra Munitions, and Guidance Chips, coming in at 40 points.
Yeah, and on the table, it kind of looks like Dengaru, but really this list plays a lot more like Dengar Bossk. Early double munitions Alpha Strike list getting set up by those K4 Security Droids. And the more I think about this list, the more beautifully sculpted it was for the meta. That 98-point bid puts it over all of the Peritani, Rao boats, and even some of the old Fenneru lists, allowing him to, with both of those pilot skill 9s, control the initiative, allowing him to move second and get those K4 security droid triggers on that opening engagement, allowing him to set up those target lock-focused plasma torpedoes.
Yeah, and looking at that Dengar, you're looking at a lot of passive non-action modifications here. We've got K4 Security Droid on both of them, which of course is the 3-point scum crew, where after you perform a green maneuver, you're allowed to acquire a target lock. And then he's also got Expertise on Dengar, which allows you to, while you're not stressed, change all your focus results to hit results. And the combination of those two on Dengar makes that second Dengar shot particularly nasty, because you're getting pretty heavy modification on both shots.
Well, and there's some interesting nuances where, because this is a non-Atani scum list, and K4 functions a lot like Atani, where you're getting these free actions, but it's a target lock instead of a focus token, and most of the people trying to target out Atani, Justin's list is not getting hit by. So things like Old Tarok, Polyp Gadali, Carnerjax, things that remove these focus token effects, not really impacting Justin's list. Yeah, Tel might not get a focus. He'll still get the target lock. And Dengar has Expertise, so he'll still get fully modified attacks.
And Dengar is a little bit susceptible to stress control because Expertise shuts off when you're stressed, but you're still getting that K4 modification, which sometimes is all you need to push out damage.
Right, and start of combat stress triggers like Asajj Ventress's ability could turn off Expertise before Dengar fires. But if you're using things like rigged cargo chutes or lower pilot skill stress triggers like R3A2, whether it's on an ARC or a Y-Wing, Dengar's still going to get those modifications before he attacks and can even opt to take a focus for defense, or if he gets a stress later in the combat phase, use that for modification. And even if you get multiple stresses, doing a green, getting that K4 security droid trigger can still be perhaps enough to push damage through. So very resilient list to the meta, and at the right pilot skill and the right punch to take out, I think, the number one threat in the meta, Fen Rao.
Yeah, and he faced off against Nan Torfs at that final table. Nan was flying Miranda, Biggs, and Jess, but unfortunately, the Alpha Strike power was able to overwhelm Nan's ability to fly his list, and he flew very well this whole weekend. He was doing a fantastic job, especially with a Miranda that doesn't have Advanced Slam. I was very impressed by.
Nan had a very spicy list, but we'll get to that next week. Okay, we'll save that.
But overall, I mean, a huge congratulations to Justin. It's no small feat to make it to that final table at the World Championship. And with the only Dengar in the top 16, that's a pretty impressive feat too.
Yeah, and non-Atani scum. So congratulations again to Justin Foix from Singapore.
And we'll be talking about all the lists in the top 16 over the next couple weeks. We're hoping to have a couple guests on, probably some familiar voices. And we'll talk about all these other interesting lists, both the expected ones and the unexpected. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page. It only takes a second, but it really means a lot to us and helps us reach a wider audience.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast. Especially when at these big events, it's a great way to see how we're doing, see how everyone else is doing.
We tried to live tweet the top games that were not being streamed. So if you want to see a kind of a short, concise record of those games, you can check out our Twitter feed. And if you guys really like the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a message saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening.
A huge shout out to everyone who's left a review on iTunes, including Chase Leader, who thought it was an amazing podcast.
Thank you, Chase.
And if you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show.
Yeah, for our June raffle, we'll be giving away 2 Ray Altart promo cards from this year's Worlds. So if you want to be eligible for those, become a patron before the end of this month. Again, guys, thanks for listening. We have a lot more to cover from Worlds 2017, so be sure to stay tuned to our next couple episodes where we'll break it all down for you. Have a great week.